Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
This is the first Sunday of the new year, and we're starting year A. So we've been in year C, and this is year A, and then we start A, and then B, and then C, and then guess what happens after C?
A,
yes. It's a short alphabet. But this is our first Sunday of the new year. One of the greatest coping mechanisms we have to handle our lives as year follows year is to assume, at least in the big picture level, that today will be pretty much like yesterday. Like yesterday, today red will still mean stop and green will mean go. Fair warning, that is not true in Naples, Florida. Red means nothing in Naples, Florida. Like other years, this year Dunedin will not have a white Christmas, at least not with snow. Like the end of the 20th century, at the beginning of the 21st century, we'll read Advent lessons that talk about the second coming of Jesus, but except for some wackadoodle televangelists, we really don't believe it will happen, at least not now. Humans don't much like change, unless it's our idea, of course. But all humans around this world absolutely need hope. Especially the hope that there is a transcendent force for good behind our existence. And this force will somehow, someday, change things for the better. The prophecy from Isaiah that we read today is some 2,700 years old. This lesson is being read in churches around the world this Sunday because it's year A, and this is the lesson appointed for today. Hundreds of millions of people on earth right today with us are hearing and yearning for Isaiah's promises to be true someday. Jesus knew that humans both resist change and desperately need it. When he talks about the people at the time of Noah, he is pointing out that they had no idea that disaster loomed very shortly ahead, that everyone and most creatures would be utterly swept away. Only eight people and the animals on the ark, and plus I'm guessing all the fish, would remain after this flood covered the earth. It's a pretty grim context for what we call the good news of Christ, but who here hasn't seen how life can change in an instant when we are swept away from our old life to some new reality? And after that instant, the gap between our yesterdays and our tomorrows can seem like an abyss. So what should those who follow Christ do? Well, I think we need to remember a few things. First, God didn't wait for us to have everything figured out before coming to be with us the first time. So there's no reason to assume that we'll have to have everything figured out before God comes again. God can handle the rough and tumble of life here on earth. Jesus did not live in a bubble. He came right into the gritty reality of human life. He came into our human lives as a force for good, making life around him look more like Isaiah's vision. He healed the sick, confronted the hypocrites, welcomed the outcasts, respected the dignity of women and children, cleansed the temple, and quite literally bore the brunt of our murderous, sin-filled wrath without succumbing to violence himself. Another thing we need to remember is that having faith is neither a spectator sport nor a final exam testing our doctrinal purity. Having faith means putting what we believe into practice now. If we believe that God is indeed an awesome, transcendent force for good, we will join God in the rough and tumble of life on earth, use the gifts for which God has given us, which we already have, that he's equipped us with, to be a major way that God's force for good gets things done here. The rub is that if we want to live our faith, put it into practice, have the world like we yearn for it to be, guess what we need to do? We need to change. Change is necessary. One of my favorite sayings is that every system is perfectly suited to obtain the results it's already getting. Let me say that again. Every system is perfectly suited to obtain the results it's already getting. The systems the world has in place now, what results are they getting? Indeed, there are some people who perpetuate systems of inequity, war, and other actions that belong to the darkness because indulging their selfish desires is their goal in life. They want systems that get them whatever they want, whenever they want it, regardless of the consequences. Isaiah's prophecy is grounded in positive change, in transforming human hearts, global economics, and national criminal justice structures with the weapons of light. Remember, nothing in Jesus' teaching tells his followers to use the tactics of oppression, violence, shame, cruelty, disrespect, or flat rudeness to bring the unity and peace God intends for all nations, for all nations. The key to positive transformation for all nations is to change things the way that Jesus changed things. And he did it in the midst of the rough and tumble of life. What's our first step? Well, there's a catchy old song with a terrific message that I'd like to start this new year with. Did I say Happy New Year? Happy New Year. To start this new year, this song came out in 1944. Can someone tell me what was going on in 1944? I wasn't there. World War II. There was rationing of gas and food and butter and beef. And that was just here. There were places where cities were in desperate, crumbling states. And this song encouraged Americans, all Americans, to use a particular attitude to handle the chaos and darkness that was all too prevalent. The song came out in 44, but it's still being recorded by artists today, including Sir Paul McCartney. Listen to his advice. So how should we do that here in this corner of God's world? Happily, in this place, Good Shepherd, our yesterdays are a solid and joyful base for our tomorrows. Kids are hungry, seniors are lonely, families struggle, homeless people are cold. Let's feed, clothe, and give them a hand up. Our community needs a safe, lovely, accessible place to gather, a place where they can strengthen minds, bodies, souls, and spirits. Let's throw our campus doors open to all. The world seems full of terrible news. Well, come to the house of the Lord. Learn to walk in God's paths. Rejoice in God's goodness. Praise God with beautiful bells, joyful voices, prayers for peace, and to be fed with the very presence of our living Lord. People can't get to worship. Let's share God's presence by visiting with them, because our church is ever so much bigger and more than our building. You get the idea. We have this whole mission and ministry book full of ways that people have been gifted by our God to make Isaiah's promises more real for so many. Yes, our yesterdays are a beautiful foundation for our tomorrows, but we also know that the Holy Spirit is always calling and leading us to discern wonderful new ways to dress ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that because every new person who walks in these doors is a guest of the Holy Spirit, someone gifted by God for a particular ministry. And as they come share their gifts, we add more missions and ministries to this directory. It's a beautiful thing. But there's a real special reason that I think we need to start this new year with the theme of let's accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. Because there is a change coming to this parish in the early fall of next year, 2020. Sometime in there, next fall, and even I don't know the day or the hour, so anyone who says they do, don't believe them, Gus and I will be retiring. And we will be moving to Bonita Springs, whence we came 10 years ago. That's where my parents are. They are 89 and 91, and they still drive. We think it's important for us to get down there and care for them. And I will also happily, readily, joyfully admit that I am looking forward to spending plenty of time with our newest grandchild. We will get through this transition stronger than ever if we accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. As the song says, we've got to have faith, and faith, in this case, faith that God is going to guide this parish into calling a fantastic new priest. One reason that this faith is well grounded in this place is not only because God is awesome, but God has already been guiding your vestry members who have known about this for a while and who are on it. As soon as I began talking about planning to retire, they swung into action. The vestry members are already prayerfully, proactively, and wisely working to lead this wonderful church family in the adventure, and I say adventure, of welcoming a new priest who will help Good Shepherd keep spreading joy up to the maximum and bringing gloom down to the minimum. Jesus tells us to be prepared for the future. And the great news that I have for you is that because our yesterdays are already focused on God's promised future, we are ready. You got this! With the hope that our positive, joyful faith gives, we can, say it with me, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In Between. And when we do that, we can mean it when we say, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We can mean it when we say, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.